Start of the Torah, Majda Yud Cheshvan Tovshim Pei Dalet, Rabbi David Eisenberg.
Ready? Okay, good morning, Rabbi Isai. Nice to be back again. Today, I'd like to discuss an inyan that comes up quite a bit, and I'm going to start first with the case, then we're going to deal with the Arum and Arum, and hopefully we'll come to some kind of conclusion. I'd like to also preface by saying that, you know, I've not done this mamish be'iyun, so that if you have more complicated questions, I might not be able to answer them. And I'm putting that down at the moment already, mitchilasa, to say there'll be certain things I'll say I don't know, and that's absolutely fine. You'll have to ask somebody higher up. So, you're going to Eretz Yisrael. Hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, you're going to be going to Eretz Yisrael. We're able to go to Eretz Yisrael, b'shalom and b'shalva, without having to worry. And you need a bit of money before you go. So you don't want to go to the money changer and get money here, because you're saying to yourself, it's expensive to get money here by the money changer. And you have a friend of yours who's just come back from Eretz Yisrael. So you say to your friend, listen, spot me 200 shekels. Give me 200 shekels before I leave, so I have something in my pocket. I don't want to show up without anything. You know, I tried this recently. I showed up. I forgot to get shekels before I left. I had cards on me. I had euros or pounds on me, but I didn't have shekels on me. And then I landed. I got myself to Yerushalayim with the train, with my card, and then I needed a taxi to get somewhere. So I called taxi after taxi, they're passing by, I say, excuse me, you take Kartis Ashray, do you take credit card? My Kartis Ashray, and off they go, right? Of course not. Right? That's that, cash is king, and especially in taxis. So, you need a bit of money. So you say to the fellow, excuse me, can you lend me 200 shekels? I'm going to Eretz Yisrael for a week. I'll be back in a week's time. Whilst I'm there, obviously I'll be changing money, etc., etc. When I come back, I will give you back the 200 shekels that I borrowed from you. Okay? I've had that with shkolim. I know people have gone to America, borrowed dollars. People have gone to Europe, have borrowed euros. This option can come up in many, many different types. We don't have to discuss all the different cases. They're all basically much of a muchness. You're borrowing a foreign currency here in England to give back foreign currency at a later date. That's the shaila. And the question over here is there ribis or is there no ribis? And if there is ribis, how do we get around this? Because at the end of the day, you want to be able to borrow a few hundred shekels from your friend before you go on your trip, and you want to be able to give him back those few hundred shekels. So what do we do here? Okay? That's the question. There'll be a lot more questions. Foreign exchange questions are, there are lots of them, but I'd like to sort of set up a little bit, and then we'll go into the actual halacha. So, let's start with the following. First things first. The whole question over here is not a question of ribis d'oraisa. Okay, so let's set this up first and foremost. Ribis d'oraisa, number one, comes only when there is a halva'a from day one. So here, yes, there's a halva'a, but sometimes we'll see the big instances where it's not a halva'a. And that's what we're going to talk about. So, ribis d'oraisa comes, number one, when I borrow money from you. So I come to you and I say, can I borrow 100 pounds? You say, well, I said, you know what? Lend me 100 pounds now. I'll give you back 110 pounds. That's ribis. Okay? Because I have borrowed 100 pounds, and I'm planning on giving you back 110 pounds. However, there are instances, and we're going to talk about this later, there are instances where it's not a halvah. It could happen b'mechira. So for example, and this is a case that's brought in the Gemara, it's called a psika. The case of the Gemara of Pesik is as follows. Let's say I want to buy something from you, but I don't need it yet. I only need it in 3 months. So I come to you and I say, listen, I want to buy XYZ item off you, and I'm paying you the money now, but I don't need it yet. I need delivery of it in 3 months. Could you deliver it in 3 months? Okay? So there, sometimes, I'm saying sometimes, not always, but sometimes you're dealing with an item that has a flexible price. So the price that I'm paying today might not be the price of it in 3 months' time. In 3 months' time, the item might be much more expensive because the price is still flexible. So I've given you money today and I have received the item, or I've received a promise to get the item at a specific price because I have been willing to give you the money in advance. This is what we call a ribis d'rabbanan. That's not ribis d'oraisa, because I didn't say I'm lending you 100 pounds and you'll lend me back whatever the item is I wanted to buy. The discussion over here is not a halva, it's not about a loan. The discussion over here is a mechira. I'm buying an item from you. You are selling an item to me. So, okay? So that already makes it not ribis d'oraisa. That would make it at most ribis d'rabbanan. In some instances it will be permissible. In some instances it won't be permissible. Simcha.
Is that item in stock or you're ordering for you?
So that's going to be part of the halacha. Part of the halacha is if the item is in stock already, so then that's one of the terms that will allow you to do that. Because really, if you want to do, you could already now take... You could take the item now already. The fact that I take it in 3 months is because I just don't want it. So therefore, that will make it easier. So if the item's in stock, that's considered yeshloi, that makes it easier. So we'll come back to that heter. But that's one of the terim in this instance of psikas. If the item is in stock, you're okay. Right? Okay? So, but that's number one. Number one is that the loshen that you use has to be the loshen of a halva. You have to be talking in lending sense. Whereas if we're going to talk in buying or selling sense, that's going to be different. That's number one. And number two, important to note of here also, is that we've made this deal from day one. Meaning to say, Ribis d'oraisa says only when I say to you, I am lending you £100 and I would like to receive £110 back. So this was the deal, mitchilasei. This is how we started off. I said, this is what I want from you. You're going to be giving me this. That's ribis. Whereas in the instance that we're talking about, for example, with a foreign exchange, there are times, yeah, the few and far in between. And again, the ticker is constantly moving in the foreign exchange. If you go online and you see exactly how much it's worth, you'll see it's going up and down all the time. But not really significantly. Sometimes it moves by, you know, by 10 pence here, 10 pence there. It's not really moving anywhere. Okay? So that is very, very different. So you don't know for certain that it's going to move. It could be that you borrow this £100, it's 400 shekels, which is worth £100 today. And when you come back from Eretz Yisrael, it's still 400 shekels is £100. It could be. And it could be 398 and it could be 402. Okay? So there's no guarantee which way this is going to go. It's not like Ribis D'oraisa where I'm guaranteed to make money off you. Ribis D'oraisa is where I lend you money and I say the term of the loan is I give you X and I get back X plus a certain percentage, whatever that percentage is. That's what makes it Ribis D'oraisa. So the first thing to mention over here is when we talk about foreign exchange, we're already only dealing on Ribis D'rabbanan, not to make light of it, but just to know what we're dealing with when we started with it. It's not that I lent you 400 shekels and asked you back for 410 shekels. I didn't lend you 400 shekels and which was worth £100 and say I want back something that's worth £110. I said to you, I'm lending you 400 shekels, I'm asking you for 400 shekels back. Which sounds reasonable, right? Except for the fact that we're going to come soon in a minute to the reason why in halacha it starts to become problematic. Okay, so let's start talking about lending money in different currencies. So we start with the basis. The basis is as follows. Within halacha, we look at legal tender and we look at commodities. What I mean to say with that is as follows. In this country, the pound is legal tender. Now you might have a Scottish pound or you might have an Irish pound. I've seen the Bank of Ulster and I've seen the Royal Bank of Scotland. You have different notes and sometimes shops are a little bit funny about taking them, right, Menachem Dov? Not every shop will take the Scottish notes, yeah? Yeah, but you go to a bank, you go to the shop and you give them the Scottish note. Some of them be like, that's money, that looks funny, right? But it's £20 and you can spend it really, it's a legal tender, you can spend it however you want to. Okay? And therefore, if I borrow £20 from you and I return £20 back to you a week or a month later, that's not ribis. I perhaps in the world now that £20 has gone up and now with that £20 I can buy a lot more dollars or a lot more shkolim, so maybe it's ribis. So there we say, no, this is money. Pounds in this country is the local currency. And because pounds in this country is a local currency, and it is the legal tender, therefore, that we look at as currency. So I borrowed £100, I returned £100, that's not ribis. Regardless of what the pound did in relation to any other currency during that time, that is not considered ribis. Okay? Important to note, what he brings over here in the Sefer, the Bris Pinchas, and this might have changed over time, is that the dollar, for example, in Israel, is not legal tender. For those of you who remember, if you go back to Eretz Yisrael 20, 30 years ago, when I lived in Eretz Yisrael, especially when I moved to Eretz Yisrael, early on, what happened was, is when you went into a shop, you could pay either in shkolim. In many shops, you can pay in dollars. I remember you can go into Supersol, you can pay in dollars. You can go into some of the big supermarkets, you can go into some of the makolets, you say, You know, any shkalim, yesh li dolarim. Ata lokach dolarim, vaday, right? Right away, they take it, no problem. They'll tell you, kama dolar yom, etc. This is what we'll give you, baita giganyan. So they, you could walk into a shop actually with dollars, and you could buy items with a dollar. And therefore, possibly, I'm not saying this for certain, possibly at least 20, 25 years ago, where the dollar was a legal currency, basically, in Eretz Yisrael. I remember when we lived in Eretz Yisrael, my rent was in dollars. Then the dollar tanked, and basically what happened is, overnight, they changed from the dollar to the shkalim, and the rents went up 15% overnight. Because the dollars went down 10%, and all the baladira said, well, tough luck, now the rent's in shkalim, not in dollars. Question Michlal about the legality of that also. If you sign the dollars, maybe you have a right to say, I'm paying only in dollars. You're not allowed to move to shkalim. Okay? Chosh mishmetik eshayla, not my tchum. Okay? But, lemaisa, in Eretz Yisrael, nowadays, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, the dollar is not legal tender. You cannot walk into a shop and pay with dollars. Most shops will not take it. The shekel is very, very strong. They don't look at the dollar anymore as this currency that everybody looks up to. And so therefore, whatever country you are in, the currency of that country is the legal tender. And therefore, in this country, it's pounds, and you go to Europe, it's euros, and America, it's going to be dollars, and it's going to be shkolim, wherever you are. And therefore, in that country, you can lend and return the legal currency of that country without having to worry about it whatsoever. There's no ribis in that, because that's money. Yeah?
In the case of the dollar is actually internationally used currency as opposed to any other currency in the world.
The dollar is, yes, it is, and no, it isn't. Certain things, for whatever reason internationally, they decided that when they're going to do international commerce, the dollar is going to be the currency that they use. But it's not legal tender in this country. You can't walk into Tesco with dollars and give them dollars. They say to you, I'm very sorry, do you have pounds? No, I'm sorry, we're not selling to you. You can't walk into almost any shop. I don't even think Halperin's would let you to walk in with dollars. And would you allow it? Menachem Dov says, money is money. You know, Menachem Dov doesn't matter. Yeah? But you know, you can't walk into Halperin's with $100. You know, if you have something that came from abroad and you didn't change money yet, and he walked into Halperin's or MH Meats or MH Bakery or whatever he's going to go into and pull out $100 and say, excuse me, I have not yet managed to change money. Will you take dollars? What's the answer?
No.
Therefore, it's not legal currency. You're right. In international trade, the dollar is what they use to trade internationally. But in this country, it's not legal tender. Okay? And therefore, you can't use it as money. And that's the next point that we're going to get to. And therefore, in this country, the pound is your legal tender, whereas any other currency is considered a commodity. Dollars in the UK are commodity. You'll tell me in America I can use them to buy everything I want to. Yeah, but you don't live in America. You live in the UK. And when you go to America and you show them pounds, they'll say, that's not legal tender here. It's not a currency. In the UK, I have tens, hundreds, millions of pounds in my bank accounts. I can go and buy whatever I want to say to. But here, it doesn't help you. If you have a card and they make an exchange on your card and you're paying $1, even when you use your card, right? Let's say I have a bank card over here in the UK and I go in America and I pay with my bank card in the UK. I'm still paying in dollars. It's just I paid in dollars and my bank has given me a rate, etc., and taken the pounds, swapped them around for dollars and paid them in dollars. But snapshot, when I use my card, I'm paying in pounds. I'm not paying in pounds. I'm paying in dollars. Right? Now, what he does mention over here is, just as an aside, but I don't want to get into this discussion, is if the currency changes, then obviously you're allowed to change around with the currency. So, for example, I remember when Austria got the euro. Remember when Austria, we used to have shillings and groschen, that was the currency in Austria. And then, at one point or another, when Austria joined the EU in the late 90s, they changed over to the euro, and then they were 13.76 shillings, if I remember correctly, was 1 euro. And that's what happened. And that was how they changed over. So if you borrowed in shillings and now the legal tender became euro, you're allowed to give back euro. Because that was the new currency. Similarly, I don't know, I didn't live in this country, I don't even know if I was alive at the time, when the country changed from the system of 240 to 100. So when was that? 1971. Yeah, well before my time, okay? So when that happened again, when the currency changed, so you owed somebody, I don't know, 2 shillings and 3 tuppence, whatever you owed him, yeah? So what are you going to say now? Well, I only have pounds and pence. There are no shillings and tuppence anymore. So you have to figure out, well, what was the conversion rate, and that's what you pay back. I tell me I'm paying back different money. He says, that now has changed into the new legal currency. When that happens, that's a separate thing. Okay? But that happens very, very rarely, so we're not going to talk about that. In general, you have the pound is what your currency is over here. Now we move into the next question, which is what we spoke about. If you want, so therefore, coming back to what we said, and there's going to be different cases over here. We're going to hopefully today only talk about one case, because we won't have enough time to speak about any of the other cases. And that's the case that I mentioned to you before. So I'm borrowing dollars from you or shkalim for you because I'm going abroad, and the promise is that I'm going to give you back dollars or shkalim. Which basically is another instance of something that we've spoken here about already before, which was the case of Sobasa. We spoke last time or two times ago about the idea that I came to you and I knocked on your door and I said, can I borrow 3 apples? And you lent me 3 apples, and I come to you tomorrow or 2 days later and I want to give you back 3 apples. So that was the question of Sobasa. Maybe the apples I'm giving you back are going to be of higher quality. Maybe the apples I'm going to give you back cost more. Maybe the apples have gone up in price. So all that is a question that you need to know about, right? So now all you have to do is you have to take the word apple and replace it with dollar or shekel. So in your head that doesn't sound right, because you're like, apples are commodity. Shkolim are money. Dollars are money. The answer is, in this country, shkolim are apples. Okay, or dollars or apples, because they're not really worth as money in a shop. They're worth money, that means I can get money for them. But you know what, I can get money for my sparim also. I can get money for my car and for my computer and for my apples or my bananas, I can get money for them as well. So here I can get money for dollars, it's just another commodity in this country. So I'm borrowing a commodity with the express intent to pay you back the same commodity. So I'm borrowing now dollars, promising to give you back dollars. I don't want to talk about borrowing pounds to give you back dollars or borrowing dollars to give you back pounds. That's different. There we're going to have, that's a whole different story, because there's already a mechira. That might be very, very different. Because when I borrow dollars to give you shkolim, or when I borrow shkolim to give you dollars, there's also some kind of exchange happening over here. Whereas when I borrow dollars to get back dollars, I'm not exchanging anything. I'm getting back the same item I've asked for. And therefore, it's a different case to borrowing dollars and giving back pounds, because there's been an exchange. So I've now borrowed $100, and I've promised when I come back from America and I have more dollars, I'm going to give you back those dollars. So let's start with the following. You're not allowed, in general, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because there's a good chance that the dollar will move and or move up. And therefore, since there's a chance the dollar will move up, I will borrow a dollar that's worth, I'll borrow $100 that's worth 80 pounds, and I'll give you back $100 that's worth 85 pounds, forgetting about what the real rate of value is right now. Just work with me, okay? Right? You borrowed $100 worth 80 pounds, and you gave back $100 worth 85 pounds, you've given back now 5 pounds more worth of dollars. That's a problem. The same way, if I've borrowed hand wash from you, and COVID came, and I gave you back hand wash in COVID, and the price went 3 or 4 times the amount, so you can't say, well, I borrowed hand wash, and I gave back hand wash. Because now you give back an item that's worth 4 times as much as it was worth 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, when I borrowed it from you, it was 99 pence in the shops. Came COVID, it suddenly was 3 and 4 pounds in the shops. So you give back an item worth 4 pounds when you buy something that was worth 99 pence. That's a problem. So the same way, you can't give back an item that was worth 80 pounds, that's worth now 85. Okay, that we said was the problem. Now, even if it doesn't move, the halacha says you're not allowed to lend this money even if it doesn't move. That means you can't take the chance, even if there's no ribs. Certainly if it moved, we're going to speak about in a minute what happens if it did move. But even if it did move at all, so you borrowed 100 pounds and it was worth, you borrowed $100 and it was worth 80 pounds, and you gave back $100, it's still worth 80 pounds. So really there was no ribs whatsoever. Still, Rabbanan said there's an issue over there, because you put yourself into a transaction that potentially could have ribis in it. You're not allowed to put yourself in a transaction of potential ribis, even if the final outcome is that there was no ribis. Again, this is only Derabbanan, not Deraisa, because Deraisa is only if I made up with you from day one that I'm charging a certain percentage. But Midrabbanan, this is still also. Okay?
So how does Sobasa work, even though you still give him £5 more?
Pardon?
How does Sobasa work? Have you got extra dollars?
So we're going to have to speak about that now. So we spoke a little bit about that last time, so we're going to speak about this now also. So now we're going to talk about what happens. Okay? So there's two ways of making this mutter. There are two ways of allowing this. And one of them, and they're following the Heter. Number one is if you already have some dollars. So let's say I already have $5 or $10. And now I want to borrow another $100. There's no problem. The same way by saw b'saw, we said that if a person has some of the produce already, that is mutter. In the same way, it's mutter by dollars also. And that will be mutter no matter how much you borrow. So if I have $10 and I want to borrow $1 million from you, and you're willing to lend me and I have the means to pay you back $1 million, thinking about that, right? But let's say I have $10 and I want to borrow $1 million and I'm going to pay you back $1 million. That $10 that I have allows me to borrow $1 million and to return $1 million. Okay? Why? Because that's halacha in Sobasa. In Sobasa, as long as you have a little bit, every little bit that I borrow is connected that amount, and that works. That's how it works in the halacha of Sobasa. All I need, and therefore the same thing with potatoes. I can borrow a sack of 10 kilos of potatoes from you, all these big sacks that they have, and I think they're 20 kilos or 25. You know those big ones, you get the polar packs, they have like these big bags, they have 10 or 15 of those in one big bag. You can borrow one of those, even if you only have two potatoes at home. I have borrowed now 30 kilos of potatoes on two potatoes. Halacha says, once I have some potatoes, I'm allowed to connect in that potato, borrow many, many more. The same is true with dollars. Remember, we said potatoes and dollars in this instance are interchangeable. So I'm allowed to borrow $1 million from you to return $1 million on the fact that I have $10 in my pocket. Okay?
You have no potatoes
at home. Okay, so now your question is, what happens if I don't have potatoes? Or if I don't have dollars? So here, the important thing is as follows. There is a heter and a way around this. And the heter, the way around this is, if the malve, if the person who's lending me the money, doesn't lend me $10, he gifts me $10. If he takes $10 or $2 from his pocket and he says, listen, Simcha, this is a gift. Now, Simcha has $2 in his pocket. Now that Simcha has $2 or $10 in his pocket, I can lend him $1 million based on the fact that he's got $2 or $10 in his pocket. But if I lent him that money, so I then can't lend him. So I say to him, if I said to Simcha, here, I'm lending you $10. Oh, now you got $10, now I'll lend you $1 million based on the $10 that you have. That doesn't work, because that means that's not yeshlag. But if I gift it to you, then that works. So that's one way around it. And so therefore, if you did want to borrow money from somebody else, they can gift you. So if you wanted to borrow $100 because you're going to America and you don't have any dollars whatsoever, I could gift you $1 or $2, and then I can lend you $100, and when you come back, you give me back the $100, there's no problem. What then happens in the middle where the currency goes up, goes down, who cares? I took $100, I gave back $100, was so, but so, there was yeshlay, no problem. You can, by the way, in the end decide to give me the $2 back as well. You can. Don't have to, I'm not making up here, but you can. Okay, that's one heter. The other heter is changing it around to local currency. Which, pardon, what did you say?
It's aroma, isn't that aroma?
It's not aroma. Why is aroma? The halacha is yeshlo. The halacha is, do you have now? Yes, you have. Finished, done.
Well, you only give him the money because he wants to lend him the money.
Okay, let's say it about it. I'm not trying to lend with ribbis. Again, remember, we're not trying to do ribbis over here. I'm trying to lend you $100 to be able to go to America and have money in your pocket. Right? So if I create a haroma, and then I say, oh, now you have this money, now I can lend you $100 to get $110 back, that's haroma for ribbis, that's also. But there's no real ribbis here. It's only a ribbis derabbanan. Because I'm not asking for more money back. I might get back exactly what I gave you. I might even get back less. If I lend you $100, in the meantime the dollar went down, so $100 I lent you was worth 80 pounds, when you give it back it's worth only 75 pounds, I've lost 5 pounds in the interim. Okay? So therefore there's no real ribbis over here, derabbanan. It's only derabbanan. So rabbanan say, if you have something in your pocket, that's good enough. So therefore you'll laugh at that.
$100 note and say 10 of it is.
Pardon?
$100.
No, so I think you have the thing, the vine is like this. You have to have that money before it's given to you. You have to have the yeshua. I can't give you everything and sort of split it up.
I can't do it. $100, no, I can't do it.
Not sure what you would do in that instance. I don't know. So plead the fifth. Don't know. Pardon? But he says he doesn't have. He only has $100 note. So I can't give you $1 of the $100 note. I can't cut off a piece. Right?
I get 200 shekels, I give him a shekel
of
coins, is that okay?
Yeah, he's got a shekel.
Coins, okay.
That doesn't have to be a shtar, it has to be some of that money, right? You have to have some of that currency. As long as you have some of that currency, it means I have shkolim. Once you have shkolim, then it's good enough.
That's what's cute.
Pardon?
I was at 5 shkolim, 10 shkolim, with a dollar and a euro, always
Yeah, so that's why some people say they always have foreign currencies with them. And as long as you have foreign currencies. And I remember somebody saying to me that, you know, I remember when Rav Vind came to speak about rivets over here, he said, if you have Bochum in Eretz Yisrael, make sure they always have a dollar set aside, so that if they're borrowing dollars or they have a dollar and a pound, if they're borrowing dollars or pounds from their friends, from the dirhamites, whatever else it is, they always have some of their own, so they can always give back the same. There's no problem with rivets. Okay?
I've got $1.
Yes.
And I'm borrowing $1 million from you.
Yes.
Am I effectively keep giving you that $1 back?
Basically. Basically. Something like that, yeah. Yeah. But that's what Chazal said, if you have that, then Chazal are happy to go along with it. Chazal happy to go along with that. That's not, I don't remember, I don't think that that's how it works. I remember it works the way Anthony said it. Now, the other way around it is, and again, this is not everybody likes this way of doing it, because we'll see soon that there are upsides and downsides to this. The other way around this is saying, look, you need to borrow $100 from me, I'll gladly give you $100 to go to America. But I don't want to get into ribbis trouble. So what I'm going to say to you is as follows. Let's look now at one of these Forex websites. They say, okay, the $100 is worth £75. You now owe me £75. Okay? I don't want to get the dollars back because I don't want to get into trouble. And you don't have any extra dollars. No problem. This choyv is not $100. This choyv is £75. Okay? That's permissible. Because I can give you anything and ask for £75 back. I could lend you my safer and say, here's my safer. And when you want to give it back, give me back £10 because I paid £10 for the safer. I can do that also.
But you can give dollars back eventually.
Pardon?
On that example, there's no return of a dollar.
We'll get to that in a minute. Can he give dollars back or not? We'll get to that in a minute. Okay? But now the choiv is in local currency. Remember, we said local currency is okay. It doesn't fluctuate, or it does fluctuate, but it doesn't matter that it fluctuates. And so therefore, I've lent you $100. We've set the price of this $100 at £75. And when you come back, you need to give me £75. Now, that will be true whether the dollar went up and is now worth £80, or whether the dollar went down and is now worth £70. It's irrelevant. Because we've taken the chiyuv from the dollar and said, scrap the dollar. We're now talking in pounds, and that what the dollar does is irrelevant, because now we've set the choyv at a legal price of £75 in this country. That's what you owe me. Okay? Now, there is a very big difference, and I think we'll finish with this, we won't have time to go any further, but there's a lot more to speak about this. There's a major difference between the two instances that I told you before, between yeshloi and between making the choyv. And that's the following. What do you owe me? In case number one of Yeshloi, what do you owe me? $100. Because I had $10 in my pocket, you lend me $100, you owe me $100. And therefore, the dollar goes up, doesn't matter. The dollar goes down, doesn't matter. You give $100 back because that's your obligation. You have to pay $100. In the second case, what I said was, this $100 is not worth $100 anymore. It's worth £75. And therefore, what's your chiyuv? £75. Your chiyuv is not dollars. Okay? And by the way, what that would mean, therefore, is, let's say the dollar went down to £70. So I lend you $100, the dollars went down to, it was £75, we were kaver the chiyuv at £75, and then comes the day of payment, and you say, you know what, I don't have any pounds in my pocket, but I do have dollars. So what will you have to pay me back if you want to pay me back in dollars? Today's value of £75 in dollars. You can't give me $100, because guess what? $100 is worth only how much today? £75, but it's £70, right? But you borrowed from me £75, because we took the value of $100 and we were kaved at £75. In Cain, you'll then owe me the value of another £5 in dollars. So you'll end up having to have borrowed from me $100 and give me back maybe $107 or $108. You'll tell me it looks like ribbis, it doesn't. Because you didn't borrow $100 from me. You borrowed £75 from me, you gave me back £75.
$100 and £5.
Pardon?
Can you give $100 plus £5?
However you want to take it. That's also okay. You can give $100 and £5. Because at the end of the day, if I decide the $100 is worth £70 to me, and you decide that's worth £70 for you, so that's £70, and £5 is £5. To I, that looks like ribbis, is not ribbis. Because we set the value of this transaction at £75, and I received in return £75. We set a value for it, mitchiloso. Pardon?
But then you didn't give him another $5, $6, $7.
That's fine. That's the halacha says that's fine. And the, it does look like ribis, but in the end of the day, the point is that I didn't lend you dollars. I lent you £75. I lent you £75. We decided together that I lend you £75, and that £75, I can lend you £75 in many ways. I can lend you dollars, I can lend you shkolim, I can lend you books, I can lend you many things that are worth £75. I haven't given you dollars worth £75. I've lent you £75, and I'm asking for £75 back. Not really. So that's what I'm saying. It's not. Yes, it might look like ribis because you're giving back more than you, but you're not really, because remember, it's a commodity. We set it at a value. The halacha says once you set it at a value, this is the value legally. It's what I said to you before, right? If I borrowed £100 from you and I gave you back £100, right? Even if the pound is worth a lot more versus the dollar today than when I borrowed the £100 from you, we say that's what the currency is over here. That's not.
If I give you that, you lend me £100 and I give you £100 back.
Yes.
A box of chocolate.
That's awesome.
I'm giving you £75 plus
$7. No, but you didn't. You've not given me £75. Because how much is the $100 worth today?
$70.
It's only worth $70. So you gave me £70 plus £5. That's £75. That's not more. Even though for the person, the onlooker looks really weird because you gave $100 and you received back $100 and £5. But the $100 was set at a chayv of £75 and therefore it wasn't worth $100. It was worth £75 and you returned £75. That's how it works. The shir today should be Lila Nishmas, my wife's grandmother, Maschai Sara Bas Reb Motcha. And anybody saying Kanish? Rabbi Chanan ben Akash Omer Zichron Shbach Zach Yisrael Lefi Chochi Bolan Tzayim Mitzvah Shenema Adonai Chofetz Zman Zikrei Yagdil Torah V'Ya'adir Amen 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 Yesh Mirah Mamra Lamra Me'ol Mayor